You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K. is on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking.
It's the Michael K. Show.
On the radio today, turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
High fly ball, deep right. Backing up Judge, he's on the track, he's at the wall, he leaps, and he makes the play! Oh, what a night for Aaron Judge! Took a home run away from Teoscar Hernandez.
And what a last couple of days and last couple of weeks and last couple of years for Aaron Judge. It is Peter. It is Don. It will be Michael in seconds. We just had him, and he's in Seattle and had some sort of glitch. We'll have Michael in just a moment. But Don, a great weekend for Aaron Judge. Not as great a weekend for your New York Mets or my Boston Celtics.
No, yesterday was a big punch in the gut. I was really excited about both playoff games. Dallas had won two in a row. They were trying to force a game seven coming back from 3-0. They were down 3-0 right away, lost the game 6-0. That was a dud. And the bigger dud was the Celtics. The way they won game six, Peter, I'm like, there's no chance the Heat can get off them. None. Zero. You can't lose a game like that. Then go to Boston with the threat of becoming the first NBA team ever to blow a 3-0 series lead, and they blew the doors off the Celtics. And I was disappointed in my Mets. Really, Aaron Judge was the only bright spot of what was a tremendously gorgeous Memorial Day weekend, but from a sports perspective, it was the Yankees and then everything else.
Yeah, if you're a Yankee fan right now, you're sitting 10 games above after everything. You're 10 games over 500. You're 6 games out of first. You're hanging out there right behind Tampa and Baltimore. Not too bad given how things started. Yeah, it was a huge dud last night for me. Obviously, I mean, Don, the dud starts when Jason Tatum hurts his ankle on the opening play of the game, right? I mean, Could you get a worse omen out of the gate? But then, I'm not going to sit here and make one excuse. The Celtics played horrifying basketball. They deserve to lose. And it's a shame because now Saturday night becomes my Andy Chavez moment. You know, that is that moment I will forever have as one of my most, it's one of the most glorious sports moments. Don, that putback was one of the most exciting things I can remember in sports in the last several years. And to be honest, if you're a Celtics fan like me, you end up putting that away and not even thinking about it. It makes you sick. I don't even want to think about it ever again.
See, that's why, think about, now put yourself, I always get made fun of, right? When they talk about the grand single, and I think at one point it was rated like the third greatest moment in Mets history, that I don't get excited about that because it was embarrassing they wouldn't let him round the bases. That's the biggest thing. And it came in a series we ended up losing to the Braves. Like, can you imagine that with the Celtics' glorious history, if that was like the 15th greatest moment in Celtic history, you'd be like, give me a break, stop it. But if it had won the series, if that had been the catalyst to a win last night, it's one of the greatest things that ever happened in the NBA. I don't even think it's an exaggeration.
And
in the middle of coming back from 3-0 down, the game is over. It's over. When Butler hits those three foul shots, Peter, it's over. And when you see the three-point clanging out,
it's over again.
It's done. And then you see the putback. You're like, no, there can't be any time left. No, there was time. You know how much time, Peter? 0.1.
I know. Listen. I know. And by the way, I don't think they would have had to win the title. They could have just won the series. That
right.
would have been enough.
Oh, absolutely.
But you have to win the series and complete it. And they didn't. Oh. They start 0-12 It was an awful watch.
That is such an amazing point you made about the Endy Chavez.
No, that's it. I have mine.
The Valeri Zelopukin goal. It's there's so many. I even had a top five during the pandemic of like greatest moments.
I think
not
you did
to win. And that and I tell you what, if I did a national one, that might be number one.
It's putrid. It's gutless. I'm still glad I went to the game. I had a ball, but it was gutless and disgusting.
We're going to go into the baseball because the judge of it all, as you like to say, and what the Mets did or didn't do in Colorado. But I just have to know, Peter, as a major piece to the show, what was the reaction? What did you do?
On Saturday or Monday?
On Saturday.
So thank you for asking. Saturday night, Natalie made a delicious dinner for the game. She normally resists even pulling for the Celtics with me. She's a Knicks fan. She doesn't care. She was very supportive. I think just like you, Don, the storyline of the series brought her into it. So now she's into it. And we're hanging out, and she falls asleep late in the game. And then she wakes up with a few minutes left. I'm like, Natalie, this is pretty close. We're on the verge of blowing it here, okay? Because remember, they basically almost threw that game away also. And when the moment happens, I sat up. I'd been sitting back the whole time, and I said, you know what? He hit the three free throws. I've been sitting back the whole time. It's time for me to sit up. I'm going to sit up on the edge of the couch instead of sitting back. I need to show some real, like, I need to be on board here. And I sit up. And I noticed, the first thing I noticed, Don, is I'm like, wow, Marcus Smart shot the ball really early. Like, he caught it and shot immediately. And that was the first thing in my head. And then I see the putback. I don't know if you remember, the announcers immediately said, Harlan immediately went to, he didn't think it would count.
Yes.
He started with it. And Don, as God is my witness, in my brain, I went, oh, no, it's going to count. I know it's going to count because I know he shot the ball early enough. And it was a full-fledged, don't know the last time this happened, jumping up and down like a child screaming, dog barking. It was awesome. It was incredible. And that's why I'm still flabbergasted. Now, to the baseball of it all, we talked about the Yankees and the great weekend for Aaron Judge. Don, the Mets had you just a week ago. You were able to start believing that maybe what Michael's right, and they're going to start writing this thing and be okay. And then you fast forward a week, and it feels like, no, maybe the gut instinct you had of this team stinks is exactly where you should be.
Well, if you take a look at what happened, of course, the Mets lose 2 out of 3 in Colorado, end up losing 4 out of 6 in the season series, which bothers you because they're an under 500 team. And you end up losing to the Cubs as well, and that's been a house of horrors as well. So a lost road trip in Chicago and Colorado, another example of them not being able to beat the teams that are under 500 for whatever reason. But that 5-game winning streak masked the real issues. Their bullpen stinks. And the reason why they were allowed, Peter, to come back in those wins, because the bullpen kept giving it up. And they kept falling behind, and they catch up, kept falling behind, catch up. If they had tried to win those games on the road, Peter, they would have lost them all because the bullpen would have given it back up again. So it woke the offense up, which is a good thing. But this bullpen, and when you've got starters that aren't going to give you length, I'm going to give Senga a break. He's new to baseball in the States. It's going to take a little time for him to get acclimated, but he's not giving you a ton of length outside of that 6-inning performance he had the other day. Which means you're going to get after 12 outs out of that bullpen. And now you're starting to see where Diaz is an issue because it's a major arm that's missing. Those are 3 more outs you got to get. And Robertson's been good, but Ottavito's not very good. The rest of the bullpen is stunk. So once your starter leaves the game, which hasn't been great either, you know, Verlander's been up and down, Scherzer's been up and down, Cookie's not been very good. You know, McGill and Peterson and whoever else is going to have to start games haven't been great either. Is you're holding your breath when you go to the bullpen when those guys leave, and it has not been good. So I don't know what you do about it, but right now you're just going to have to try to get as much length out of your starters, and good luck in this day and age. It just doesn't happen.
And we talked about this, Don, by the way, 1-800-919-3776. And we've talked about this at length. You know, you invest a ton of money in guys who are, combined 80 years old, and you may end up having some problems. And with the thing that you and I talked about in the call before the show that sort of got me thinking was I really hadn't been thinking about the Carlos Correa fiasco.
Right.
So here's my question I have for you. They were fully in on Carlos Correa for a reason. They ended up not getting him because of whatever information they learned. They decided to move on. They never went and replaced whatever that need was. How does that work?
Well, again, I think the offense is coming around, but you're right in the sense that they spent that money. It was spent. And then it came off the books. And we'll see if it ended up being the right thing or the wrong thing. Right now, it looks like the right thing. But that money wasn't reallocated. It was too late to, I guess, build the bullpen. You're already over the threshold. You already have the highest payroll in baseball. They're going to have to dip in and try to find some relievers. But so's everybody else in Major League Baseball, Peter. It's not the easiest thing in the world to find. And this is where you really have to give Epler a lot of heat. Yeah, he left a lot on the table offensively. Yeah, he invested in two very old starting pitchers to be at the top of your rotation. But you've got to do a better job of building this bullpen up. It's a bullpen sport. Peter, like a drug addict looking for a vein, these managers are looking to go into their bullpens, right? They can't wait to pull the starting pitcher out to go to the bullpen. The Mets are the opposite. You're holding your breath, hoping they don't have to go to the bullpen because there's nobody out there to feel good about, especially in the early innings. And it's going to be their demise. It just is. I don't care how good the offense is. You cannot continue to chase. You get runs, and then you give it right back again. And I love Buck. We had him on the other day. I don't want Buck going anywhere. But sometimes he's a little too optimistic for me, all right? I don't see how you feel good about, oh, they showed a lot of heart. In Colorado? You scored runs in Colorado? Big deal. When you needed, when that game was still up for grabs, nothing, and then down 11-7 in the ninth, you put up a three spot, and I'm supposed to get all excited?
We are in the middle of Diamond Notes, brought to you by London Jewelers. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, Don. I've talked to my share of Mets fans who are, you know, at this point, you're 54 games in. You're a third of the way. Exactly, right? It is reasonable at this point to start having real serious concern that this was a real botch job by Epler in the offseason. And that has to be on the table.
He is, yeah, right now. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he's going to get fired or whatever. But, you know, the one thing I don't want to hear about, Peter, and the Yankee fans go through this too, and we're going to talk about Judge and everything he accomplished last night and how he might actually be having a better season than he had last year, as crazy as that is to think. Oh, don't worry, Don. There's three wild cards. I don't want a wild card. When you have the second highest payroll in baseball, shouldn't I be expecting to compete with the Braves? Why am I behind the Braves and the Miami Marlins? Why am I behind them? I'm 27-27. And Dave Rothenberg brought this up earlier. They're like 5-5 in their last 10, 10-10 in their last 20. Like, they are a 500 team, Peter. No, and you said we're at the quarter pole. Memorial Day is where you're supposed to assess where you are. Guess what? They're average. 27-27, not just in record, but everything you see, everything that they're about. An average baseball team. And how do you not complain about the general manager if a quarter through the season it looks like he's built an average team with the highest payroll in baseball?
And by the way, you just thank your lucky stars that you're in the division you're in right now and able to sit there at five games back. Because, Don, they'd be more than 10 games back if they were in the AL East. But in the NL East, they can survive here. So they can make you believe it's still possible.
That's what's amazing to me, Peter. Like I the caller called back and apologized last week. But when I did that show that Friday by myself, when you were away and Michael was late coming back from Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
And I said the Yankees were in the Mets were in the same place, and I got a lot of heat, and he called back and he admitted he was wrong. Because when I said they were in the same place, is in the standings. Yankees are a better team. The Yankees are 10 games above 500. They're 10 games better than the Mets. But guess what? The Mets are actually closer to first place than the Yankees are, to your point. They're six back in the East in the American League, while the Mets are five back in the National League East. They'd be in trouble. They'd be in last place in the East, more than 10 games back. So they're fortunate from that standpoint, but is it going to get any better? They're gonna have to make some moving and shaking going on to do something with this bullpen if they've got any chance to really be competitive the rest of the season.
All right, let's get into some game time brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey and start things off on the phone lines with Jay in Queens. What's up, Jay?
Hey, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
So, listen, Don, I'm with you, man. Buck Showalter is being a little bit too optimistic about the whole thing, but isn't this the reason why Joe Girardi got fired? Because he kept on bashing his team in public? Is that the reason why he's doing it in front of the cameras? What's to say he's not, you know, ripping into his
That's
team
true.
Behind closed doors?
That is true, but he's an overly optimistic guy. But, you know, sometimes,
great call, Jack.
And I don't want to be that guy, you know, looking for my pound of flesh. But, you know, it's okay to be disappointed in your team. I think when you're over – see if you understand the difference, Peter. The criticism of Girardi was he singled guys out. He showed his displeasure on the bench. When asked about Sanchez, he expressed his disappointment in the player. I don't think there's anything wrong with just being overall disappointed with your team. You don't want to call individuals out. That's not going to work in this day and age. But is it okay to at least express disappointment that you lost 2 out of 3 to a lousy Rockies team? And a footnote, did you see the uniforms on Saturday? What's Major League Baseball doing? It looked like a beer league softball. Check out those Rocky uniforms, Peter. You're open-minded. You're a very open-minded person. You see where other people don't see.
Thank you.
I'm very narrow-minded and borderline ignorant. You're the smartest guy on the show.
Thank you.
Pound for pound.
Pound for pound, the smartest.
You know, Michael might have gotten better grades, but that was because you decided to have some fun.
That's right.
Take a look at those uniforms Saturday and tell me anything other than complete putrid disgust.
Hold on. I'm going to look this up right now. I'm excited to see this. Let's go back to the phones.
Hi, guys.
Let's go to Tony in West Haven. What's up, Tony?
Tony.
Great show. Great show as usual. It was a terrible weekend. Celtics getting beaten and Yankees possibly losing Bader and Rizzo for a little while. I mean, I was listening to a program this morning saying that Rizzo today was – his neck was bothering him a little bit more today, even though it looked like he was okay in the dugout yesterday. But – I'm just hoping we don't lose them for any length of time because they were two clutch guys. We need them in there, you know?
Well, you need that protection for – you just need somebody else on the lineup besides Judge, right? That's what you need.
Yeah, because you remember, it's all fun and games during the regular season when you can just count on Judge to mash, mash, mash. But then it seems like when you get to the playoffs, you're going to need a little bit more than that. We've seen this. We've seen this play out already. Let's go to Jonah in Wesley Hills. What's up, Jonah?
Hey, guys. How you doing, guys?
How you doing?
Thank you. All right, doing great. So, you know how you guys always, you know, Michael always pokes fun of you guys when you mess up a name. Yeah. Did you hear the home run call, the first one from last night on Aaron Judge?
I did. And I'm sure Michael will own it, and we could save it. We're going to probably save it for ENN. Peter, do you know what he's talking about?
No, and I'm looking to see if I have it.
It's the first home run, right?
Yeah, he was so excited. I don't think he couldn't get the name out.
Oh, no.
Well, it was
how bad is it?
Judge. Aaron Judge.
He called him Aaron Juggs?
No. Aaron Judge. It wasn't that bad.
I got to tell you, Judge doesn't sound great.
Judge isn't much better. But Juggs might be a slight bit worse. But no, Juzz, G-U-Z-Z.
Oh, no. I wonder now. Thank you for the call, Jonah. Can we bring it up? Do you think we can bring it up with him? Or is this,
it's not nearly as bad as what he brought up himself with the blown home run call with Stanton. Remember?
Yeah, true.
I mean, this is just a...
There's a lot going on. An ugly day for us, too, Don. Listen to Greeny referring to the show earlier today.
So Buck is on with Michael Kay and company on the Michael Kay Show, ESPN Radio, New York.
Oh, no.
I heard that live, by the way.
By the way, Don, I got to tell you, I'm just being honest. I don't mind it. Okay. I don't mind it for Greeny at all.
Well,
you can have a problem with the fact that it's an option, but Greeny is being very clear. He's just trying to speed along to the point.
Well, here's why I actually applaud it.
Go ahead.
Is he's making an effort. Because he could just say the Kay Show.
Yeah, or on with Michael K. On with Michael K.
But he doesn't want to say Michael K. or the K. Show because he doesn't want to leave us out. But at the same time, it's clunky to just list our whole name, all our names. He was on with Michael, Don, and Peter. It sounds easy, but when you're in the moment, it's just so much easier to just say company or them boys or the gang, whatever. But it's a byproduct of the name of the show because nobody would ever say, I was listening to Rothenberg this morning. they say Rothenberg DiPietro or Dave and Rick or Rick and Dave.
Right. You have to say
or
both.
Or Bart and Han.
Believe me, I know.
Or Larry and Gordon.
Lago.
But unfortunately, the only show in the country that has three talk show hosts and two of the three are not in the name. And don't say the Stern Show. I'm sorry. I'm not Robin. He's not Jackie. Or I'm not Jackie and he's not Robin.
I'm not Fred and you're not
We're
Baba.
Three equal parts Fafa. Of a show and only one guy's got his name on it. Only show
so Buck
in the
is on with Michael Kay and company on the Michael Kay Show, ESPN Radio New York.
There you go.
When it's, who is it? Dan Le Batard.
Stugatz. Even he, Stugatz
They'll
has
say,
a whiff.
Well, Stugatz, I'm not Stugatz, all right? I will fight you. And I've got no problem with Stugatz.
No, he's very good at what he does.
Very good at what he does, but he has a role. Our roles are bigger. We are three talk shows. Only show in the country. I dare you to find one.
Yeah.
Can't find it. Doesn't exist.
Yeah, if you go to Boston and you listen to, you know, Smelger and Calderon or whatever
right.
those shows are called. You know? No, they're not just getting it's just not the Bob Smelger
listen.
Show.
It doesn't bother us at all. Okay, no. So I want to defend Greeny because he's a good guy, and that's why he threw out company.
Now I have the, I do have the Michael call here.
Now, do you feel comfortable playing it? Because you're the one that has to push the button. You're the guy. You're comfortable enough to do it.
Drilled deep to left field. That ball is off the pole. A home run, a laser to left field, a two-run shot by Juz, and the Yankees lead 3-1.
It's weird.
It's not that bad. That's why I can
no,
laugh at it.
No, but here's the thing. I don't...
A two-run shot by Juz.
Usually, just to give you a little inside radio,
Judge.
When somebody makes a mistake like that,
yeah.
It's usually because the next word they're going to say begins with S.
Right.
And he shortened Judge... And, like, the other word came out too soon, but that's not the case here. So I'm not really sure what was going on. It's a great call. It really is a perfect call. It was accurate. It was descriptive. It had tremendous energy. But I'm just trying to find out where the SS came from instead of DGE. I need to know what happened.
We're going to find out. That's Game Time brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey.
Well, maybe we will, maybe we won't.
Who knows? During the big games this season, enjoy Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. And Michael is on the show today, and Michael is here, and we literally just sat with him, connected to us for
right.
20 minutes. He's in Seattle, getting ready for the game tonight, and just all of a sudden... literally the minute before the show started, it disconnected and we haven't gotten him back. But we will get him back. And I look forward to it. And we'll have to bring it up. We'll have to have an honest conversation about Judge.
I knew a caller was going to bring it up. Michael might have brought it up in the open.
It's small enough to me that I saw that call on like Twitter or something.
Of course
and
you did.
I didn't notice it. I just heard it and was like, oh, Judge. I didn't think that much of it. You know, it's social media. I just didn't. It wasn't that big a deal.
You know this will become a thing, the way Arson Judge became a thing.
No, it can't. It's not arson. That was a different kind of mistake.
Are there going to be 99 jerseys out there with Judge?
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Waiting for Michael K. We'll get to him in moments right here on 98.7 ESPN. And yes, and Don, we go right back to the phone. And you know, it's not a show unless you talk to Richard, but not Richard Manhattan. Oh, yeah, no, Richard Manhattan. Here he is. Hey, Dick.
Hi, Don, Peter. Peter, you nailed it. After Jason Tatum got hurt, that was it. You know, half jokingly, after it happened, I was hoping. I'm being sarcastic here, but Adam Silver jump onto the court and just say we're going to postpone the game for another day. Let Jason Tatum get better. The Boston fans wouldn't have minded because that took all the air out of the game. Me personally, I thought we're the biggest losers, the fans. Because I sat down yesterday. I was hoping for a great game, and that took all the air. You know, if you guys were on yesterday, I had a would you for you. And I would have asked you. Now, you guys, it wouldn't apply to you guys because you three are all spoken for. But all the single people out there, if you had a choice to watch last night's game or have a date with a supermodel, what would you do? I thought that would have been quite
well, what happens on the date? If I'm just taking out for drinks?
No, no game. No, you can't watch the game.
No. Just, that's not what he means.
No, I'm not going to go into details.
If it's just a simple date, breaking bread, we're good. I'll watch the game.
Right. It depends on what happens. You need some sort of insight on what's going to happen here. But all right, keep going, Richard.
Yeah, the game was big. That's how big it was, especially coming off Saturday night's game. Fellas, last night, now I'm going to be very specific here. The Yankees are winning 9-4. Abreu pitches the 8th inning. 15 pitches. Then they score a run in the ninth, so it's 10-4. Abreu comes in for the ninth. So he ends up throwing 29 pitches, two innings. I wish Michael was here because it's more appropriate to ask Michael, but I'll ask you two guys. If that game was 5-4 yesterday, would Abreu have been in the ninth inning? And if not, why not? If he can go two innings for a save, why would you take him out in a 5-4 game but not take him out in a 10-4 game? You understand what I'm saying here?
I understand completely what you're saying.
And what do you guys think?
Well, because what you're piecing together is you're trying to save bodies in your bullpen. Right? They already, you know, Canely's going to pitch in a rehab game tonight for Somerset. They've got issues with their bullpen. So why use an extra body out of the bullpen in a game that's already decided?
Now, Don, I'm 100% with you.
Go ahead.
But if the game was 5-4, you know damn well Boone would have put in another pitcher.
Because then it would have been matchups, and then it would have been important. And then he would have felt the need to expand the bullpen to protect the 5-4 lead. But why expand the bullpen, Richard, in a game that's already decided? So let Abreu, who's probably not going to pitch on back-to-back days anyway, give you the extra pitches so that you don't have to go deep into your bullpen where you'd be willing to go deep into your bullpen if you're protecting a one-run lead. It's really simple. He's always got this – I love Richard, but it's always the same old song and dance. All right, back in the 60s, Goose Gossage would have pitched all the innings, but that's not the way it works anymore.
Right, so what are we really talking about?
What are we doing?
Let's go to another Richard. This one's Richard in Rockland. What's up, Richard?
Yeah, hi, Don and Peter. It's actually Leonard.
Okay, what's up,
Leonard? Leonard, even better than Richard. Go ahead, Leonard.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to ask a question. If you could just keep me on, get your responses, I would appreciate that. So I just had a question regarding Eric Spoelstra, the coach of the Miami Heat, obviously. Who would you rank him at this point, regardless if you would end up winning the NBA Finals, which would be a crazy matter in its own right? He, most of his team, besides, I'm saying, once you put Butler and Van out of the equation, and you're talking about a bunch of drafted players, I'm saying you put any other coach in his spot, you're lucky if they're making the playoffs if they're over 500 at all. I'm saying even before this year, you're talking about making the East Conference Finals three of the past 4 years. You know what I'm saying? I know he had LeBron and Wade and he won a couple, but now he's proving that he can do it without all the superstars. Who do you rank him on your list as of right now as a top five head coach of all time? Is that a possibility?
Oh, five. Don, is five a possibility?
Yes.
It's in the conversation.
It's in the conversation. You know why it's in the conversation? Because who is in the conversation? Phil Jackson. Did he ever win anything without Shaq, Kobe, Pippen, and Jordan?
No.
Is it Popovich? Well, Popovich had two of the greatest players ever to play the game. You know, David Robinson and Duncan together. And then after Robinson retired, he still had tremendous players. Although, you know, Pop is certainly, definitely in the conversation.
Mr. Auerbach.
Red Auerbach. You're talking about some of the greatest players ever to play the game.
But it's just such an epic run.
But who else is in the conversation? Larry Brown?
No. Because
who was the Pistons coach when they won in
04? Chuck Daly. Oh, in 04.
No, Chuck Daly.
That was Larry Brown. That was Larry Brown.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's the only one.
So you look at coaches that won without like outright superstar players, and Spoelstra and Brown are the only two to come to mind. Everybody else had, you know, LeBron or Jordan or, you know, some facsimile of great play. I mean, Pat Riley has to be
now,
in the conversation.
Is there a world in which you can give Kerr extra points? Like, maybe there's an alternate universe where Steph and Clay don't go on to be that great if they're not on a Steve Kerr coach team?
See, that's a good question.
Because neither of them were touted that way coming into the league.
Yes, it's just showing the graphic. Only three coaches have more playoff wins with one team than Spoelstra. Jackson won 11, Jackson again with 118 with L.A., 111 with the Bulls, and Popovich 170 with the Spurs. So he's already passed Pat Riley with his 102 with the Lakers. So that puts him in the conversation with sheer numbers. If he goes out there and wins a championship against Denver, which I don't think they will. I think the magic carpet ride ends here. I think Denver's the better team, and it's going to be over.
By the way, isn't it funny, though, Don, that we've said that basically every round?
No, you're right. You're right.
It's every round.
Listen, I've been saying it about the Panthers, too. I'm picking the Golden Knights because I think the Golden Knights are better, and the Golden Knights are more consistent all year, and the Panthers will probably prove me wrong again. But if they win it, Peter, you got to go back to 04, the last time a team won without a genuine superstar. And that's Larry Brown and the Pistons in 04. That's 19 years ago. But so how is he not at least in the conversation as a top five coach?
No, listen, he's in the conversation. For him to put it over the top for me, though, it would require getting one in the non-LeBron Wade era.
Right.
So it would have to be, because basically what he has is he has the championships in 12 and 13, and then he's been great. He's been really consistent. You got to then ice it with another one. Because, I mean, Let's be honest. I think the way you're making the argument, to me, it's Popovich. When you think about, yes, did he have great players? He did. But he did not have the sexiest players of all time, that's for sure. And he did it over 15 years, five times, spread out.
So that's one guy.
So we know that Pop is there.
And Jackson probably, because he did it with two teams.
Yeah, I think, Phil, you can't really argue. And I'm sorry, Don. I mean, as great as the players were, I think Auerbach has to be there based on the number of titles. I just think he has to be.
So now you got three. There's still two more.
There's still
open
two
spaces.
Slots there.
And that's where the if he wins this title.
Oh, yeah, he's right there.
Then I think he belongs in there. And who are we missing anybody else? I'm sure there's people screaming that they're
ready. Well, the rest
now,
of the list.
Saying, well, Pat Riley. Has to be in there, right?
The rest of the list is Lenny Wilkins, Jerry Sloan, Doc Rivers, which is kind of wild.
No.
Isn't that wild that he made the list, by the way?
Well, listen, he's got a title. He's got a ton of wins.
Dr. Jack, who only has one in 77. Don Nelson, who has none. Casey Jones, who got the two with the Celtics. Red Holtzman, who got two, of course, with the Knicks. Chuck Daly got his two at the end of the 80s.
Right, and again, that was a
hard-working
team. Right, so I would have no problem, honestly, if they won this title against Denver and made this magic carpet ride to a championship, that he would have one with LeBron, one without, right? Or more than one with LeBron and one out. I would have no problem if you gave, if you said Popovich, Jackson, Riley, Red, and Spoelstra. I'd be very comfortable with that top five.
No, it's hard to argue again. And in that vein of talking about Spoelstra, let's go to Griffin in Connecticut.
There you go.
Hey, Griff, before we let you gloat here, are you going to tell us that you weren't nervous after the Celtics won game six also?
I'm telling you, Peter, I have no clue how we ended up winning that game last night.
There you go. There you go. It's a reasonable Griffin.
I felt so happy. I'm like, okay, just one more stop, one more stop. And then Derek White comes out of nowhere, gets the rebound. My heart is, I'm on the ground in disbelief. I didn't say even a word. I just couldn't believe myself. I'm like, are you kidding me?
That's all you could say.
And then Butler and Spoelstra, the culture that they have, and the thing for Spo to say and to say what he said, that we're going to go into Boston, we're going to be ready, and we're going to take the game. I like the way they were saying it, but I'm like, going to Boston, playing the Celtics, there's no way.
Yes and way. But, yes way.
They give Butler the MVP, but to me, Caleb Martin is the MVP.
I was going to ask you that, Griffin. That was actually my question for you. As a Heat fan, did you think the MVP was Butler or Martin? Because, I mean, Butler is the guy who everyone keys in on, and he was good at the start of the series. But then there were some lulls there, and Caleb Martin was there for you every single game.
It was Martin. To me, it was Martin, because there was no way in Game 6 that we would have even had a chance to win if it wasn't for Caleb Martin. And then in Game 7, it was the same thing. Even though Butler hit the late things, Celtics were going on a little bit of a run. At the end of the third, Kelp hits not one, but two big shots. Every day, every time he was there for it. And it just, to me, the way Kelp Martin performed, I think was the reason we had a chance to win that series, because Bam struggled completely, and Butler struggled a little bit sometimes.
But
Kelt Martin and Gabe Vincent were phenomenal, and it just...
No, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And Caleb Martin now is in rarefied air. Thanks, Griffin. I think he surpassed John Starks for, like, most points in the playoffs by an undrafted player, Don. I mean, I agree it was Caleb Martin. And by the way, could you love Griffin's pronunciation of Caleb Martin anymore?
It was good.
But I was surprised they gave it to Jimmy. I was. I thought it was going to be Martin.
Well, he's the bigger name.
That is kind of how, let's be honest, isn't that 90% of the time how these MVPs work?
I feel comfortable with that. But did you, again, really stunk not to be able to do a show after that Game 6. I'm sure it did for you, too.
Yeah.
So you do the show in your head, what would you say, how would you handle it? And I just never saw in my life a team that was down 3-0 then have, go into Game 7 is like, that was it. It was over. Like, The Heat went from how can they blow it to how can they possibly win Game 7? Like, that was such a gut-wrenching look. Maybe we overrate momentum, but for them to be able to get off them, and listen, maybe things change if Tatum doesn't get hurt, but, you know, still, they were blown out.
But let me tell you, and by the way, yeah, it didn't feel good to see them give out the Larry Bird and Bob Cousy Awards last night on the floor in Boston to the Heat.
Yeah.
Not what you want.
No.
I got to give Charles Barkley a lot of credit. Mm. He kind of nailed it the whole series. You know, when the Heat went up 3-0, he wasn't sold on the Celtics, on the Heat finishing it. When the Celtics won 1, he said, uh-oh, I think the Celtics come all the way back. But then after the Celtics won Game 6 in the fashion they did, he said he felt differently. You know, whereas everyone else, like, oh my God, momentum. Charles Barkley, after Game 6, was saying the way they won was so ugly and they so didn't deserve to win. And then you combine that with Spoelstra's attitude in the presser. He didn't love Boston going into Game 7. He was right.
See, that's what's great about analysts and coaches. Like, we were just talking about the Mets' 5-game winning streak. The fans all get caught up in how the game was won, how the game ended. But the great analysts, the great coaches, dissect how you got there. And there was a lot of negative around how they got to that great moment that applies to the next game. So I'm sure Spoelstra was probably telling his team, listen, that's a tough way to lose. I get it. Should have won that game. But if we play the exact same game, we're going to win.
Your calls coming up, 1-800-919-3776, talking about the incredible weekend for Judge, the not-so-incredible weekend for the Mets, and, of course, some leftover thoughts on the ridiculous Celtics-Heat series. Peter and Don, hopefully joined by Michael within moments, the K Show on 98.7 ESPN, and yes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Peter and Don on the K. Show, 98.7 ESPN. I'm seeing there's a lot of scrambling happening here, Don, in order to try to get this right with Michael.
He's an important piece to the puzzle here, don't you think?
Well, of course, especially when the only people left to man the ship are two jabroni pumple ducks like you and me.
And we're trying to do it. We're doing our best.
No, listen, we're doing the best we can. You want a little pinstripe report brought to you by Corona?
Do it.
Let's go back in time.
Drilled deep to left field. That ball is off the pole. A home run. A laser to left field. A two-run shot by Juz. And the Yankees lead 3-1.
Let's hear from Aaron Judge on the win.
You know, I said, you know, we could have cashed this game in after a tough series with the Padres and, you know, travel all the way to the West Coast. You know, we got a tough Seattle team. We could have cashed in this first game, but the guys came out swinging. You know, glad to have Domingo back on the mound. You know, he's a dynamic pitcher for us and, you know, a big part of this rotation. You know, he's got a lot of elite pitches, plus pitches, great command with it. So, you know, getting him back, giving him a little bit of runs there and letting him work in his first start back was huge. So it's just a testament to this team. You know, everybody came out swinging. You know, I think that was a season high with hits and fun to be a part of those. But now we got another big game tomorrow.
And Aaron Boone on Judge's incredible catch.
I mean, what do you say? I had a text from my son, maybe the greatest catch he's ever seen. And then, I mean, what a day.
He is special, Don. I mean, I it's like at some point it's going to get boring to keep stating this over and over again that Aaron Judge is special. Oh! Sorry, my wrist is injured, and I just tried to lift myself up with it, and it did not feel good. But I don't know what else you say, Don. Day after day, week after week, he's mirroring last year. He may be better than last year.
Now, we got into it. Who's the best player? Listen, Otani's a unicorn, right? So he's going to obviously win because he can pitch well and he can hit well. But the most dangerous and feared hitter in baseball is Aaron Judge. He's almost at Barry Bonds' level. And we know how Barry got there. So this is the damage he can do when he's healthy. Saw it last year, seeing it so far this year. If this guy is able to put together back-to-back seasons of 60-plus home runs, yeah, he's going to be in the conversation as one of the greatest to ever play. And in the modern era of Yankee baseball, might be in the conversation as the best to do it. Now, Ruth, is it? Listen, we have different eras. We don't want to go back to the old timey football because we don't want to go back before the Super Bowl. And hockey and basketball, we don't want to go too far back, right? Like we just decide to bring up our own line of demarcation since so and so to create our own narrative. Come on, we're getting to the point. Nobody saw Ruth and Garrick play, so when you start talking about the DiMaggio's and the Barras and the Jeters and the A-Rods and the Thurman Munsons and all the great players since, what, 1940?
Right, there are people alive who saw them play.
Yeah, he's among the best, if not the best. Listen, DiMaggio didn't hit home runs like this.
God.
Now, he was a better overall hitter for average. But, again, I didn't see DiMaggio play. Is he as good a defender as Judge is? Did he have the arm that Judge has? We know he had a 56-game hitting streak and the great batting average and all that, but and he lost a lot of time because of the war. But, honestly, this is one of the greatest Yankees of all time, period. And if you want to say since 1950, if you want to modernize it, I don't know what the line is, Peter. Since divisional play, if you want to go there, I don't know, the expansion of 61, then he might be better than Mantle. It sounds ridiculous, but Mantle got hurt.
No,
so we never really saw the best of Mantle. He's got to do it on a much more consistent basis, but if he's able to put back-to-back seasons like this, he then joins that conversation.
Oh, no, no,
now,
he has
the
to.
Rings, but still, it's a different era. It's hard to get the rings.
No, back-to-back seasons, it starts to get crazy. I said early, Don, I maintain this. Last year, I think, was when I came up with this way of putting it. He's going to end up at the head table. He's going to end up at the Yankee head table, which is a crazy place to be.
Well, will he be allowed if he doesn't win?
I feel like baseball in that way is not basketball.
You are so right when it comes to general baseball conversations. Winning doesn't seem to be as important as quarterbacks in football or NBA players or goaltenders in hockey. But for the Yankees, it becomes the conversation. It becomes a yeah, but. Like, let's say Judge puts together an unbelievable career and hits 600 home runs and has a lifetime batting average over 300, waltzes into the Hall of Fame at 100% like Mo, but has no rings, and he wants to get to that table, are Yankee fans going to be like, yeah, but I hope not. I really hope not. And again, we're way ahead of ourselves here, but just to be able to actually have a conversation on May 30th, Peter, a legitimate conversation that he might actually be better than last year?
It's insane. It's not, you wouldn't even think it was possible.
Remember, he missed a week. So Alonso leads the league with 20 home runs, and he's had an incredible season too. So let's not move him aside as far as what kind of crazy summer it could be for him. Even if the Mets are just average, that could be a fun season for him, a fun summer for him. But remember, he went on the 10-day IL. He could be sitting here with 21, 22 home runs the way he's hitting the ball.
And that is the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Corona. Enjoy the finer life of sports. Corona, the official cerveza of Major League Baseball. Nick in Bayside. I think you're right on time to make things negative and depressing.
Go ahead, Nick.
How you doing, guys? Unfortunately, I do think that the Yankees' window to win a championship has closed. 2022, we hobble into the ALCS, we get swept, and it's the same story every time we meet the postseason. We're hurt, and we can't play our best baseball at the right time.
All right, but who's winning?
Who's winning?
If the Yankees' window is closed, who's wide open? Just curious, your thoughts.
I think the Astros are a really good baseball team.
Very
good. Good front office.
And they're getting healthy, and they're scary. Yes.
Yeah, and it's sad to say, but we're going to have to face them. And they have been the devil we're trying to beat down. And
that is
we
true.
Just can't get it done.
That is true, but Tampa. I can also tell you, is it Tampa? I don't know. Tampa's never won. Is it Baltimore? A little too early for that. Nobody comes out of the Central and wins. Is it Texas? Texas is off to an amazing start. Bruce Bochy is an incredible manager, but they haven't done it. It's been over a decade since they were this competitive. Peter, he's right about the Astros, but when you say the window is closed, they can't win anymore. If you're only giving me one team that can, then I can't really sit there and back him up and say, no, there's no shot.
I hear you.
Who's in the National League? Is it the Dodgers? This is supposed to be a rebuild for the Dodgers. They're a very good team. They're in first place. Is it the Mets? Braves? Braves are a dangerous team. We're only talking about a handful of teams that I think can legitimately win a championship, at least right now. And the Yankees are among those teams. I'm sorry. You may not think so, meaning you, the general Yankee fan that calls this show or tweets, but they are.
1-800-919-3776. We'll continue this and much more coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Peter and Don right here on 98.7 ESPN and Yes.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.